Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I thought everybody did an unbelievable job. They battled, Quincy had to play a lot of minutes, which he's not used to. He did a really good job. I thought that, we're not making shots at the three-point line. We're making twos, but we're really just not – we're not making enough shots at the three-point line, and that's something that is important for us to win these kind of games. But I thought these guys battled as hard as you could ask them to battle. Joe made some really big plays to keep us in it. Marek got some opportunities. He's just not finishing the way he can. But when you lose your best player, one of the three or four best players in the league, without being able to practice, it's difficult. But they did everything they could. We got right back in it. NC State shot, and they made 11 threes out of 25. That's pretty hard to do. And I thought our defense was overall was pretty good. But that was the difference in the game.
You've been kind of not hard on Quincy, but you've been saying he needs to be better.
He's getting better. He's got to be better. He ran out of gas the last 10 minutes. He disappeared. I think he just hasn't played that much. I think he got tired, but he was really good for the first 30 minutes of the game. Really good. And again, I want the best from him. I want more from him, and I think there's more there. They did a good job on Buddy. They were pressuring him, and he got off balance, wasn't getting good looks. When he got in the lane, he got some, but he was getting hit. They don't call any of that stuff. They just call it the other end. But, we battle hard. Hopefully we get Elijah back. We'll see. We don't know what's going to happen with him, so we won't know until probably Saturday whether he'll be able to go. But, just things like that, it happens. It's unusual. I've never had a player in 44 years get hurt in the warm-ups, but first time for everything, I guess. Disappointing. He's a team that pressure. I don't even know something down there. But anyway, it's a perfect game for him. They're a pressure team, and that's where he thrives. So very disappointing not have him tonight. Thank you.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
What's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, please share it. The universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. Go there, join the militia. We are the only Syracuse sports podcast centered around giving you, the fans, a voice. Welcome. Happy Wednesday. Rate, review, and subscribe. If you like mediocre shows about Syracuse sports, boom, you're in the right place.
Boom.
Boom. Real quick, I don't know if you listen on SoundCloud or not, but if you do, I'm stop uploading there because there's not a ton of people who listen there, for one. For two, I do it manually. And three, I just realized it doesn't count for our downloads. Now, I'm not like, it doesn't matter that much, but if I got to do it manually and it's not counting towards downloads, that's where I stop things, okay? So, anyway.
Makes sense.
So, yeah, SoundCloud, we'll keep it there, but we probably won't be uploading after this episode, just so you know. Is that it? I think that's it. Yeah. Joe's ready.
Yeah, that's it. Good show.
Yeah, that's it. We'll see you later. Syracuse takes a step back as they failed to pull out the win against NC State, suffering a 79-74 loss, falling to 14-10, and what, 7-6 in the ACC. So we will talk about all that. There is redemption around the corner. If you want to stay positive, there's something to look forward to there, and we'll go over all of that. And the first one will be Florida State. Syracuse will travel to Tallahassee to face number 8 Florida State at noon on Saturday. So we will talk about all of that with you. We'll get to your feedback. We're going to condense what we have to say to listen to what you have to say. And as soon as we do this, now listen, I don't know about you guys, but for me, a game is 10 times more exciting when I'm putting money on it. Sometimes I have a gut feeling about a matchup, and sometimes I just feel like betting on my team because they're my team. The truth is, I don't ever bet on my team. I'm reading this. The truth is, I don't ever bet on my team, okay? That's the God's honest truth. If you bet, if I feel like betting against my team, then is it like a win-win for me? You know, I put $20 down on the on NC State, I win money, or Syracuse wins. Whatever. It's like paying for a win, but I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that. Regardless of whether you've been betting for years or you are a first-time bettor, that's okay. My bookie welcomes all to come to play. They can answer any of the questions that you might have if you do have any. Their customer service team is waiting. If you're the kind of guy or gal who likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay, for instance. If you like a couple of the big favorites of the week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet on multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So, if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one, I mean no one, gives you more ways to win. And if you really want to support your team this season, bet against them at mybookie.ag. And if you join right now, mybookie will double your first deposit. Use the promo code CHAIR, C-H-A-I-R, to activate that offer. That's promo code CHAIR to double your cash today. Visit mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Thank you, my bookie. All right. It was boom. It was a valiant effort. It was. Without our star player, Elijah Hughes, it just too many mistakes and missed opportunities. Some guy named Devin Daniels went on a 7-0 run all by himself and put his team up 69-68 with 4:26 to go. NC State would then ice the game with a 3 by C.J. Bryce, and that was pretty much the dagger. The good JG3, a career-high 30 points, despite going 1-10 from distance. We said he needed to get off the slump, and he did. He got off the schneid. He had a fantastic game. The Syracuse defense did keep Funderburk in check for the most part and in foul trouble for nearly the entire game. Gary A with a double-double, 16 points, 10 rebounds, and only one foul in 37 minutes. Obviously, it goes out saying that that was his best game of his young career so far. Plus 5 on the boards, 27-32 for Syracuse. The bad, Syracuse could only muster up 12 points on 19 NC State turnovers, while the Wolfpack racked up 23 points on the Orange's 15 turnovers. Syracuse got up 16 more shots than NC State, many of them around the rim, and Syracuse just couldn't finish, especially in the first half. They ended up shooting 39.1 from the field altogether. The ugly, 3 from 18 from 3, 16.7 between two guys, Buddy and Joe. It's not going to get done when your best player is out of the game. It's tough to get it done, I should say. But, you know, the shooting from behind the arc has been pretty bad. Buddy wasn't feeling it, and it showed. I saw him pass up a wide open three and toss the ball off. So he wasn't feeling it. So anyway.
Yeah. No, that was, again, kind of a mix of emotions when you start that game, because you're looking towards, okay, this is a big win, right? We need to get this win, big game. And then just with Elijah Hughes, when he went out and then bang, you know, he hit the chair, I knew something was up, because a lot of times that's, you know, pretty much universal language for an athlete pissed because he can't play through something. You know, a lot of times there's situations where athletes can play through certain pain tolerances and stuff like that. But when you got a muscle, it just is debilitating. It doesn't let you do what you need to be able to do. And you can severely hurt it even more trying to do too much, to where you're out for way, way longer. So it's a touchy thing. And as soon as, I don't know about you, but as soon as Elijah Hughes was out and then I saw the ice go on his groin, the left groin there, I knew he was pretty much out for the rest of the game, and I was very, very nervous about how that game was going to go, because I know they ended up getting up, 20-11? And yeah. To be perfectly honest with you, I was very surprised. I mean, for the most part, a lot of people think that Elijah Hughes is going to go to the NBA, so we pretty much got a sneak peek of what next year is going to look like, right? Minus whoever we get next year as far as in coming in, right? So
I think it's fair. Yeah.
Right. I mean, obviously, you're going to have an offseason to get better like that. But I mean, going against, you know, and we'll hit it up a little bit when it comes to fan feedback. But going against a senior laden team like that, that really was, they started to figure out how to get their open shots and stuff like that. I thought we played pretty well. I was impressed. I was surprised that we were even leading the game. What was it, 67-60 at some point around 7 minute mark in the second half. So, yeah. But you know, we out rebounded them, and we did the little things, the free throws, all that stuff. It just came down to, again, taking advantage of some of their turnovers, but the 3-point shooting. 3-point shooting has been kind of a dagger, and I mean, our defense hasn't been great, right? We've given up. I mean, teams are going to score on us, especially teams that got some offensive guys, some shooters like these guys had, right? But the 3-point shot really is what's killed us in the last couple. I mean, I don't want to turn around and say we might have beaten Duke or whatever, but I know the Clemson game and this game, we wouldn't have lost if we've been shooting the 3-pointers the way that we did the first half of the year. So it's unfortunate, man. It's the three balls that need to get it.
Yeah, and we started so strong. We did, and we started so strong, and everything seemed like it was shaping up, and we were just looking for maybe a little bit more defense. I thought the defense played good, but, you know.
In spurts. There was a second-half spurt there where I don't know if we could put it on our defense or their offense, but probably a little bit of both, right?
The transitions? We were getting back.
Transitions were with.
We got back a little slow. A couple times,
and again, that comes down to, you know, we lost a guy that plays 40 minutes a game. It's the best player. I mean, he's the second leading scorer in the ACC.
Right.
So all that's got to be put into perspective. Because I mean, me being kind of the unemotional, kind of logical type, I was looking at it like as soon as Elijah Hughes is out, I put it in my head that we're going to lose that game. So anything after that was pretty much a pleasant surprise.
Mr. Positive.
But it wasn't a surprise when they came back and beat us. So
right. Yeah, well, it's losing the late leads. All right, let's hear from you.
It's time to hear from you, the loud mouths from the loud house.
All right, y'all know what to do. Go to the socials at the end of the game, Facebook and Twitter. I prompt you to leave a comment by asking for your thoughts. Do so. I will get it. We will talk about it here. If I choose that it is worthy, essentially. look, shout out to at MDMCD88. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that or spell it out, but at MDMCD88. Yeah, I had that right. He's the guy in the background that was lobbying the refs. I call him you know, awesome. I thought that was great. So, we found him on Twitter. So it's fantastic. I thought that was great. That was the highlight of the game for me, by the way. So, it really was.
It was great.
I will start with at Grimmy33. We put up 74 without Hughes. This team seems to not have a problem scoring points. It's the closing out of games that's been infuriating. Another late lead loss, Joe. You know, you got the you could blame depth, and Gary A would play in 37 minutes. Never done that this season. He did a lot. He played great, but like you heard Coach say in the beginning, he faded away.
Oh yeah, for a little while there, the way that he was playing, I'm like, okay, if he can do this to the end of the game. But again, I think that's just he's got to figure something out with the depth and with trying to figure something out. I think he's got to give some guys some rest with the way that he had the forwards playing down low without Elijah in there. I don't think there shouldn't have been a reason why maybe Gedeon gets a little bit more burn. Maybe every once in a while, like when they went small, when NC State was forced to go small because their big men were in foul trouble, why not put Buddy down there at the wing and get another guy in there? But for the most part, it was working. It's just you kind of see it. And if you notice, there's kind of been a trend. It's usually, and I think we talked about this the other night, the end of the first half, end of the second half, it seems to be like that we kind of fade, right? And
yeah.
I think that's
we
just,
about
I
it
think
last
that
night,
does, yeah, doesn't always have a lot to do with legs, but I think in certain instances it does. And I think last night it did.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think, I don't know for sure, but last night I felt like it was a trend that when we lose leads, when we hold, we seems like it's not so much maybe a trend as it is a pattern. It's a thing that's been happening. Well, I guess that's the same damn thing, isn't it? So losing a late lead in the first half and going into the locker room either without the momentum or down altogether, and then coming out kind of starting strong and holding together or getting the lead like we did last night and then losing it again, I just feel like that's to your point. I mean, you know, they get that break, they come out again a little bit more energized, and then it's just, you know, you only got six guys playing most of the time. It's a fast-paced game like that, and you could see it in a couple of transition buckets.
Yeah.
Gary A getting down there lazy in one particular time on an alley-oop, and it's like, you know, it was obvious to me.
Yeah, well, at NC State, their focal point when they do, I mean, they play tough in-your-face defense, you know? I mean, we pressed – I mean, not a really tough press, but I mean, they pressed almost the whole game, right?
Yeah.
As far as the inbounds and stuff. And I mean, it wasn't like necessarily there to get a steal as much as it was there to just kind of tire you out.
It's like a mosquito. It's like a mosquito.
Yeah. Just annoying, you know?
Yeah.
Like a gnat at a barbecue.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and they did a good job of it. They deflected the ball a couple of times. They frustrated. I think they got a turnover off of one of those at one point.
They're always
right there. So at Orange Cop 44, our buddy Tim, at this point, I think it's safe to say a tournament bid is slim to none. Maybe a deep run in the ACC tournament gets them in, but it's hard to see that happening. Team plays hard, is young and talented. The future is bright for Syracuse basketball. I would take this backwards. That's absolutely correct. Obviously, I think that a lot of these players on this team will be here for a few years. I think Joe and Buddy. Mark's got one more year left. He's probably going to have, you know, a great senior year if we compare it to anything he's done in his junior year. But
right.
As far as the bid goes, look, we have two games to try to flip that script a little bit, and it's not going to be easy. And Joe, you mentioned something to me last night, and do you know what I'm talking about Hughes? I'll let you explain that.
Yeah, well, just as far as making sure that he's going to be ready, because there's some fan feedback on the what the postseason outlook looks like, but you kind of wonder, do you make sure that Hughes is healthy? I mean, again, this could be, you know, grade two, grade one, grade three, just mild strain to where it's just a day-to-day thing. But if it's, you know, up there as far as like a high grade strain or a pull, he could legitimately be out a couple weeks anyway. But just giving these guys the experience, giving these guys the chance to play without Elijah and figure it out might be, you know, maybe a blessing in disguise. I don't know if it's going to get us wins on the road the next two games, but I don't think we win those games if Elijah doesn't play. But to be able to get Elijah some rest, get him healthy, maybe help his hands, his groin, everything, and allow some of these younger players to grow, maybe Godine get some more confidence. Jesse Edwards, I think we've been seeing, has been getting some more confidence. Guerriere had one of his best, probably his best
his
game,
best
right?
Game. Yeah,
so
his best game.
Joe Girard had his best game. So,
yeah.
It's true. And we'll talk about Buddy here in a second, but again, it's kind of one of the things what do you want to weigh out? You know, if that groin's not right, and I mean, the groin and muscles can be lingering things. Do we want this thing to linger and actually affect our chances? Because at the end of the day.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest coaches' leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
The five games after these next two games on the road and the ACC tournament are more important than these next two.
Right. So you're talking risk versus reward, basically.
Right.
You know, do you chance it? These games are going to be tough to win anyway. They're both on the road. Not that you're rolling over and pissing on yourself, but you're kind of, you know, it does. There are some things. There are some positives. And I say things off the air all the time. Same to Joe. It's just, you know, human nature. But there's no point in me coming on here and spewing negativity. Because, you know, it's like nice to sit back and look at it. Joe kind of balances me out with that. And he brought up a couple good points yesterday. I thought it'd be important for him to explain that. So there are positive things to take out of Hughes not playing. You get these kids some burn. Hughes gets to settle up. You got five games you do have to win. to close out the season and ride that momentum into the ACC tournament. We've talked before, the ACC tournament is this year. There's a legit shot to run deep. So it just, you know, it just depends on how you fall into it. But,
well, yeah. And I mean, do you want to put up his health for the rest of the season and maybe games that we should win later on in the season to, you know, take that chance of playing against teams that we might not be able to beat with Hughes?
Can I be honest? Let's just say hypothetically that it's between trying to win these games and getting to the NCAA tournament and possibly having a, you know, a Hughes that's not 100% healthy and going to and trying for an NCAA bid, or having Hughes healthy going into a NIT. I'd rather have Hughes healthy, first of all, for his own sake, second of all, for just to close out the season. I'd rather have him healthy. That's just
Yeah. And again, if you risk his health and you do get a win against Louisville, but then it costs you two more wins down the road and you lose the teams you shouldn't because he ends up re-injuring it, right? Yeah. So, again, there's a risk versus reward, but I would imagine that they're going to take their time because, I mean, this is great growth and experience.
Yeah. And let's just hope that we're speculating here. We got three more days. So, you know, he could possibly be 100%. So, and maybe that's why he didn't play last night. Go ahead. You got one to go.
Got a couple on Facebook that have to pertain to the NIT. One, top fan Daryl. Buddy was terrible tonight on both sides of the ball. And I'm going to read two before we comment, by the way.
Okay.
Hughes being out hurt. This team is much better than its record, but bench with limited playing time also hurts. One game at a time. I hate to say it, this is looking more like an NIT tournament team.
Yeah.
and then the other one that I wanted to kind of couple on that, because I wanted to kind of hit up on Buddy right here, was Josh said, Buddy isn't ready to be the focal point of opposing defenses. Without Hughes on the floor tonight, he was, and he proved he isn't there yet. He is still one of the most improved players in the ACC. Tonight shows you what the presence of Elijah Hughes on the court means to this team. So just coupling that, I mean, yeah, we threw the one on there, right, where he talked about the NIT, so I kind of wanted to throw that on there with piggyback off of the one that you just read, but also it had a little bit to do with Buddy being awful, and then this one guy had talked about how Buddy isn't ready to be the focal point. So,
well, you know, to win last night, we needed Buddy to come through, and they were close. It was a valiant effort. I think that sometimes this team does look like an NIT team. I don't think there's any denying it, but they fight every game. You know, and like I said, you know, I'd like to stay positive when it's mathematically. You know, when it's mathematically, help me out here, Joe. You're leaving me hanging.
No, it's mathematically possible to still make it. Yeah.
Right. When it's mathematically possible to still make it, I would like to just err on the side of, you know, they still got a shot. But, you know, what do you think about that? What do you think about making Buddy the focal point in the defense? I don't even know if that's.
No, again, I mean, it happened by default, really, right?
Right.
And I think what it's basically saying is that with Elijah Hughes being on the court, he basically gets the other team's best defender every time.
Right.
Now, sometimes they'll switch off and go on Buddy when he's really getting hot, and I think that does have a little bit to do with when Buddy does maybe go off for one half, and then next half he doesn't, right? Because he becomes the focal point because he's on fire. You know, he's scoring 18, 20 points a half, then the other team's going to do something, right? So that's when you see Hughes turn around, so it's tough to have a team to have the defensive guards to be able to stop all three of the guards, and especially Buddy and Elijah. But it just shows you how difficult it makes it for Buddy when Elijah isn't in there. And again, yes, he's most improved and everything, but all this does is really show you a little bit more of, I mean, every player has limitations that they got to get through. And a lot of players take just the natural just steps towards getting better, right? Freshman come off the bench and just kind of help out, you know, 3-point shooter. Sophomore comes in, adds a little bit more to his arsenal, still shoots the three, but he can take it off the dribble, you know, do things like that. But now we've seen the next limitation. We've seen the next, you know, so that's something for throughout the rest of the season and off season and progression. And we find out if he just is who he is here, or is he going to be able to make that next progression to be able to go against those number one defenders on the other teams. Because next year, if Elijah goes to the NBA, he might have to.
Yeah, he might have to. I thought, you know, they would have switched some defense to Joe a little bit more, but they, you know, they really were worried about Buddy getting hot. I mean, you don't want Buddy to get hot, and they did a good job. And it is what it is, and that's what Coach was saying in the montage about Elijah Hughes, how Elijah Hughes, you know, he strives in that kind of environment, so he's able to he's able to do a lot more than the guys on the court, and so losing by five really doesn't look like that bad when you think about it and put it in perspective.
Was it five or four?
Was it 70?
I think 79-75, right?
Oh, no, 79-74.
Oh, okay.
It was five. Yeah.
No, four or five still, whatever. I mean, but if Elijah plays, we win. So, and just to go on that, too, this, I hate to say this is looking more like an NIT tournament team. I think it's fair to say that our record and resume looks like an NIT team, but when you watch us, I think we look like a tournament team.
That's a fair assessment. It is. Just don't have that one win to hang our hat on yet. So, at ZW Rodborn, this is a two-parter. Okay, so bear with me for a second. It's pretty good though. I ask all Orange fans, if you knew before the game you'd get 0 points and 3 minutes from Elijah Hughes, what would you predict the result would be? An L, right? This team has surprised a lot of us with how they have played, probably going to take wins at FSU and Louisville to get a berth, but this team shows lately they can play with anyone. JG3 attacked the rim, and Guerriere played like a possessed man. This team is capable. At the very least, this game was exciting, albeit disappointing in the end. Let's hope for a speedy recovery for Elijah Hughes. Go Orange. So that's the mindset. Let's soak some of that in. Let's soak some of that in right now, because like we were just saying, and that's piggybacking off of our last point, Joe, is that if you knew at the beginning of the game, well, you did kind of have a feeling at the beginning of the game, Elijah Hughes wasn't going to come back, and you thought, okay, well, we're going to lose. Well, we didn't get blown out by 20. It could have been ugly. You know, we could have went out there and laid an egg and gotten blown out, but we didn't. And this team passed the eye test last night. I thought everybody did a really good job. I mean, minus Buddy, but you know, not everybody can play, you know, brilliant every game. But I did think that Buddy was going to come out in the second half and do something.
Yeah.
And it just never came to fruition. But
yeah, well, he had a couple times where he took advantage of when Braxton Beverly, when they had some switches and stuff. But in the second half, they finally put Markel Johnson on him after he had made a couple shots. And that pretty much ended that. So, and you got to love the positivity. I got one right here. Robert, top fan from Facebook, right? And he's got the Oakland Raiders as his profile picture. Yeah. And this is just another way. I mean, we had a lot of comments and a lot of people, obviously there's emotional things said obviously right after a loss. And, I think a lot of it has to do with putting into perspective, like we were just talking about, and being able to look at the positives and know that, you know, when Elijah Hughes is out, then it kind of changes what your expectations should probably be. I don't think you can still, I mean, and granted we were up at 6 or 7 in the second half, but NC State was not playing that good. And we were, I think, surprising them in some ways, but for the most part, that was never out of like we never had control of that game. And yeah, I just, yeah, for some reason, the whole night always thought that we were going to eventually, that was what was going to happen. But either way, take Hughes 16 to 20 points per game away. It's tough. Big props to JG3.
Yeah, absolutely. Great point. I mean yeah. It's just, and that was what I hung my hat on at the end of the day. There was two guys that came through that needed to step up. Can you believe Guerriere had one foul that whole game?
No.
Can you believe he lasted 37 minutes? If he doesn't last 37 minutes, if he lasts 20 minutes, we might get crushed. So, a work in progress, man. And he played the gauntlet last night. 37 minutes. The only 3 minutes he didn't play was when Hughes was in. Played the whole game, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, we needed him to. That changed the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You got any more?
Yeah, I got one. Well, there's a bunch, but the one that I really liked, again, top fan, Torian.
Torian P.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and again, they hit on a lot of the comment hits on a lot of everything, that some of what we talked about, a little of what we haven't. And I think it's good. It's a good comment anyway. So that's why I wanted to kind of save it for last, so we could hit up what we hadn't talked about that he hits up. So
you want to save it for last? I got one.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I got one more. That's quick. At Tony Staffieri, the loss had nothing to do with Hughes. It's a good point. It could have still won that game without Hughes. I don't know if it had nothing to do with Hughes' injury, but I think what he really means is if you're going to say we lost because Hughes didn't play, there was opportunities where Syracuse could have won that game. You know, for instance, 12 points off of 19 turnovers. We've been usually 19 turnovers, we'd garner about 22 points sometimes. Okay? So, you know, something around there. It's usually 1 or 2 points above the turnover margin. So, you know, things like that. The Dolezal, how many buckets did he miss right at the rim? There's a couple layups. There was a layup by Goodine, missed one. I mean, talk about all those.
Yeah, they had when Elijah Hughes goes out and you turn around and say, oh, well, Buddy Boeheim and Dolezal are going to have to be the ones to carry the weight, right? And they both had 5 turnovers apiece. So. And then you have Joe Girard and Gary Ayer had the best games of their freshman careers thus far. So, but again, I mean, yes, were we in position? 100%. But you got to be able to look at it as far as, like, I could see if it was a situation where, again, we knew that Elijah Hughes was injured and we had some practices to be able to put together a game plan knowing that Elijah Hughes was going to be out. But, when you lose a player just like that, like, and then you still, you know, I mean, the way I look at it is you lose that game, you can definitely blame it on that player being injured. If it's that close, you know, if you can't look at that, like they talk about the NCAA committees, right? When they talk about tournaments and stuff, they even put injuries into account when they look at certain teams and losses and stuff like that. So if it's, doesn't matter, and it's not that. Like, yes, could we have won without him? 100%, right? But
yeah, I think that's his point. But you're
well,
right.
Yeah, you could have won without him, but if you lose, then you can definitely point to him being injured as the reason. I mean, I think that it was obvious that some people were burnt. They were just burnt out. I mean, there was a couple plays where I saw. I mean, there was just guys that just couldn't get back because they were too winded. And
yeah,
again, you know, you know Howard Washington, small minutes as far as Goodine. And I think that the game plan and those minutes and the way that we attacked them would have been differently if not for Elijah Hughes.
Didn't even play Washington. What do you think about what do you make of that?
I think Joe's playing too good.
Okay. Fair enough.
My opinion.
All right. Let's hear from Torian. I'm sorry, Joe.
So they responded well without their best player, which was good to see. I thought they would lose by 20 once Elijah had to sit. Mm-hmm. Right there with you, buddy. Mm-hmm. Would have been nice to see Buddy sit for a bit. He really struggled. He gave up the 2 threes late in the second half and gave us little offensively. Not sure it would have changed the outcome, but I believe Goodine could have given some better minutes and likely better defensive energy. Guerriere gets a, and he had his, you know, the arm flex, the bicep flex emoji. Mm-hmm. JG3 was great to see an undersized freshman dominate a bunch of upperclassmen the way he did. He deserves more credit. Loved seeing him take it to the rim and play with supreme confidence.
Yeah, it was awesome, and, man. I mean, go ahead.
Well, that's why I wanted to save this one for last, because I think he does hit a little bit of everything. I mean, the initial thought of what was going to happen when Elijah didn't play is exactly what I thought, and I thought Guerriere played great. I did think that I thought Goodine was going to get more minutes. I mean, a lot of this comment was a lot of what I was thinking when it comes down to it, and then I especially wanted to have it be the last one because just Joe Girard, he doesn't get enough. I know he shot 1 for 10 from the 3-point line, but I just don't think that he gets enough credit for his responsibilities is a true freshman on this team. And then coming out in, again, 1 for 10 from the 3, not great, but he scored 30 points. And to right. Torian's comment, those are nothing but senior guards that he's going after.
Yeah, it's a very, very...
I mean, Markel Johnson he's like right there on the line of NBA or not. Like he's fringe NBA player,
right.
Senior. And Joe Girard was scoring on him. And at some points it looked easy.
Yeah, it's a veteran team. We talked about that in the, you know, in the pregame or the preview last episode. So, some great points. I can't be mad at Joe going 1-for-10 and missing 9 3-pointers. I mean, you can look at it; it looks ugly. If he scores 9 points or 10 points, you got a right to complain. But I don't know, man. I think he was just trying to help his team, and Joe has brought up, I don't know if he said it on the air, but he's given Joe tons of credit that has hit my ears about, you know, it's the things that he doesn't, that you don't always see, that don't go down on paper, that Joe does, that makes him so valuable. So,
yeah, I mean, pretty much for the whole game, he was what, getting the ball and going up pretty much full court,
five
having to get through
rebounds.
Two. I mean,
yeah.
That just gets old after a while. It gets annoying, and a lot of times it gets monotonous, and sometimes you kind of get lulled into turnovers, and especially as a true freshman, sometimes you get tricked into stuff. I mean, yesterday, minus, you know, obviously the outside shots that he missed, that, again, some looked a little rushed, and maybe you could put a little bit of that on maybe his legs or whatever, but at the end of the day, I mean, he scored 30. Where would we have been without him last night? So
yeah, screwed. All right, let's go. All right, Syracuse will head to Tallahassee to play number 8 Florida on Saturday. This is only an opportunity to boost that resume, get that signature win. The tip-off is set for noon. The all-time series between Syracuse and Florida State sits at 7-4 in favor of Syracuse, despite losing to Florida State in our last two meetings. We got to go all the way back to January 2017 when Syracuse won 82-72. Andrew White, the top scorer in that game, with 24 points. Florida State is coming off of a 70-65 loss to Duke, so I don't like going into those games. Sometimes that bothers me. So far this year, they're led by 6'6", 180-pound sophomore guard Devin Vassell. He's averaged 13.4 points a game. He's also leading his team in rebounds with 5.3 and blocks with 1.1. And yeah, to top it off, he's leading the team in three-point shooting average with 42%. He's followed up by two more guards, Trent Forrest, a 6'4 senior. He's averaging 11.6 a game, 4.2 assists, 2.1 steals. And MJ Walker, we all know this guy, 6'5 junior. He's averaging 10.4 points a game. And as a team, Florida State is shooting 45.7 from the floor, 76.9 from the line, and 35.8 from three, which is really good, 35.8 from three.
Oh, yeah. They just beat Duke, didn't they? Or no, they lost.
No, they lost by 5. At Duke,
close game. Yeah, that was one of the things that I was looking at. And they're 20-4. They've only lost 4 games, and they've all been road games. So they haven't lost a game yet this year at home. So again, that's sometimes some things that I look at. So we would have to break a trend, which obviously those things are eventually broken at some point, right? But though, this is a team, when I sat down and watched the game the other day against Duke, and they're just they're just all over the place defensive wise. They're very long, athletic. When you think that there's a lane, or you think that there's a passing or driving lane, those things close pretty quick. And they don't have the greatest size, but as far as their main forwards, Patrick Williams and Raekwon Gray. Patrick Williams is 6'8", 225-pound freshman, and Raekwon Gray is 6'8", 260-pound sophomore. I mean, he is a load. Yes, I said 260. Yes. So, and the thing is it's not even like he's like a big boy. Like, he just had, I mean, he's just, he carries his weight well. Let's just put it that way. So he's not a very easy person to, I mean, he's going to be the guy that we got to worry about around the rim, boxing out, things like that. But this team, another thing, and it's gone pretty much for Florida State for pretty much past like 2, 3, 4 years, but they just always bring in these same kind of just forwards and guards, all play defense. They seem to all be able to shoot a decent percentage from the 3-point line. And Leonard Hamilton, he's got them coached up to where they just know how to play together. So this is a tough out, especially in Tallahassee, especially not really knowing what's going on with Elijah Hughes listed as day-to-day at this point. But I've had groin and hamstring pulls, so I know where my thoughts lie on that and what they should do. But not going to be an easy game. They move the ball around, and like I said, I mean, what Vessel is their best, one of their top scorer at what, 13 points a game. So that just tells you what they do, right?
They spread it around, man. You got
You
got 13.4 points from Vassell, and Force 11.6, Walker 10.4, like I said, Williams 8.5, and they're all shooting, 43%, 45%, 35%, 44%, 49%, all from the field.
Yeah.
That's your top
and against Duke, they had eight players that played at least double-digit minutes, and another three that still had, I think, five-plus minutes.
And that Raekwon Gray, he's averaging half a game, so... You know,
yeah, but I mean, that's what he runs waves at you because they play with depth. They play, they try to speed you up, and they play very, very tough in your face defense. And you're going to be able to be allowed to do that. You know, it's going to be tough for us especially if they figure out a way to move the ball around and get some open shots, which teams eventually do anyway at some point against a 2-3 zone, but. Again, it's just going to be a tall order. Even with Elijah Hughes, it'd be a tall order. But the main thing I'm worried about, and what's really going to be telling, really, if Elijah Hughes doesn't play, I mean, according to KenPom, Florida State is adjusted defense is 14th in the country. Adjusted offense is 43rd, right? Yeah. So you're talking about a top 15 defense, and that's really what you're looking at, right? So Buddy's going to be getting the same type of
attention.
Defense. Yep, the same type of attention. Now, granted, if we know Elijah's not going to play, now we have time to practice and get ready for that game. But again, depending on what goes on with Elijah Hughes and what that whole status is and everything, you got to be able to temper your expectations and understand what the situation is.
Yeah, you know, I mean, so let me ask your opinion in something then. You know, do you think, by the way, they don't play Louisville till Wednesday after Florida State? I don't know how much, I mean, to me, I feel
Louisville plays Saturday as well, so they have the same.
Yeah, and we got, you know, it's a week from today, we only got one game before we play Louisville. So if you look at that as far as Hughes' recovery time goes, I mean, we'll see. But Louisville or Florida State, what's the worst matchup, you think?
God. It's like flipping a damn coin, man.
Yeah, it is. That's why I'm asking you. You're the expert, Joe.
No, I mean, it depends on the way you look at it. Louisville, they look to be the more, I'd say, kind of the better offensive team. I think that has a lot to do with Jordan Nora and the fact that they got an actual center type piece down there with Stephen Enoch that can score down low. So I think they have a better, more down low game. I think Florida State's offense is a lot of just driving, dishing, getting, you know, the offensive rebounds and things like that. I think that's the type of game you're probably going to see against Florida State. I think that Louisville has probably got the better group of players and team that can actually shoot the three and have a legitimate down low scoring, plus a guy at the free throw line that can shoot. But I think Florida State has a little bit better of a defense. So depends on how you really want to weigh that out. Both games are away. I do believe that Louisville has lost at home this year, but I don't know if that'll go in anybody's thing.
Both places are really tough to play, we should mention, obviously.
Well, yeah, both. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, like I said, it's not like you're talking apples and oranges here, you know? Tomatoes and tomatoes, right? So, I mean, it's one of those things where it's a flip a coin type thing, but I think that Louisville's offense is kind of just, and I think we beat Louisville last year too. So I think there's going to be a little bit of bad. I think Jordan Nora played one of his worst games that he's played. And I think that he's just chomping at the bit to just prove that he can eat alive a 2-3 zone.
That was a home game, too, when we beat them. So,
yeah. So, I mean, realistically, I think that the better chance is probably Wake Forest only because we have a chance to maybe neutralize some of that rebounding and the scoring down low. And if they're just really, really not shooting good from the three-point line, like really bad, like how we shot last game. Like,
yeah, you mean Florida State. You're talking about Florida State,
yes, right? I'm talking about Florida State, yeah. I think that, I mean, if you're talking who would I rather them beat? Or are you talking about who was our best chance?
Oh, no. I was talking best chance. I was talking best chance because when I look best at chance, it, when I size them chance. Up.
Best chance to me is Florida State.
Okay, well, when I size them up, I'm like, whatever one I'm looking at, I'm like, yeah, I'm worried about that one.
The best one's Florida State, but the percentage isn't high. The likeliness isn't high.
Oh, I know. I get it.
For either of them, right? So right. I just think that Florida State's a little bit more limited on the offensive end.
So here it comes down to this, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's going to be an upset. And we can't basically, you know, you've got to look at, you know, all the basic things. We know this team now. We got to stay out of foul trouble. We got to do our job on the boards. We've got to be efficient with our shots, and we got to everybody's got to contribute. And even then, it's still going to be hard. Let's be honest.
And that's with if Elijah Hughes is fine, right?
And you can't let these guys just shoot at will. And the 2-3 zone is notorious for just letting all these shots from three go. You know, and you just look at the NC State game. NC State shot 44% from three. That's way above their average.
It's the game.
11 for 25 to our 3 for 18, guys.
Or we just got to shoot a little better. It's one of the two.
Yeah, you do one of those, though. I think the game's won, right? Without Hughes. Yeah. So,
I mean, our offense has got to be a lot better next game for that. And again, that's really what it comes down to, right? You're just going to have to. You know, keep your eyes peeled and put your ears to the ground and wait to see what you hear about Elijah Hughes, because that's going to probably change your expectations. It should change your expectations. So
don't seriously put your ears to the ground. That's a
no, not it's a literally. Metaphor. It's a safety hazard. Is OSHA-less?
OSHA-less.
but I'm just saying, like, realistically, if I hear that Elijah Hughes is out, then I'm going to go into the game with no expectations, probably take away my anxiety.
It's an opportunity anyway. It won't take away my anxiety. That never happens.
Oh, it's going to take away my anxiety because, again, I'm going into it thinking that we're going to lose and just looking at it as how is this team going to actually look without Elijah Hughes and get those guys the confidence and experience and put them in some roles that, you know, they're going to be in. And maybe they can kind of get a head start, maybe the end of this season, and maybe do a little bit more. And, you know, I think that's what it is sometimes when you lose your best player for a couple games. And sometimes it takes those opportunities for some people to actually see what they can actually do, what their actual worth is. And sometimes that gives you a little bit more of that confidence boost, even when that guy comes back. Right.
Yeah. I remember now, when we lost Frank Howard last year and Buddy Boeheim stepped up, won that tournament game for us, I believe it was an ACC tournament game.
Right. Well, this is, I mean, with Elijah Hughes out, this is your time to gain confidence in coach, right?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, when Elijah comes back, he's going to have that question mark in his head like, did Bryson show me something? Did he give me a reason to keep giving him minutes? Or am I just going to go right back to status quo, right? And if you prove yourself, that can't go away. Like, if you play good enough, that can't go away, right? Like, the way that Joe played, and if he continues that, if Elijah's out for the next couple games, even if we don't win, he's going to have a little bit more of like, hey,
just boost your stock, man.
Why don't you shoot a little bit? Yeah, let's boost your stock. Why don't you shoot a little bit more? You have a little bit more of a green light. Why don't you drive a little bit more and get in the lane, you know, like versus what it's been the past however many games, right? So, yeah.
So, all right. Well, good enough for me. Look, go Cuse. My anxiety never goes away. The beginning of Syracuse games, like, I look for that under 18. TV timeout, bro. That's my first, like, that's what I do. You go under 18 and under 16. Are under 16 and under 12. Under 8, you know, that's me. That's my countdown, bro. That's when I get up off, you know, just take a breath, go grab.
Do you even math, bro?
I don't math. But, all right. That's,
countdown by fours here, bro.
Yeah. That's it. That's all we got. I guess we'll be back here as soon as we can. I want to thank all of you for participating. Thank you for leaving your comments. Obviously, that's the point. That's why we ask for them. We love having them on. And the better, the more creative you guys get. Like, a couple of these comments were awesome this game after a loss. And we're not used to even getting really eloquent thoughts after losses. Yeah. So we appreciate those.
And we're sorry if we left yours out.
Yeah, and it doesn't.
There's so many to pick from, so many to just go through. And
yeah. So, and we appreciate that's a good problem to have for us. So we appreciate that. We appreciate all you guys listening. We appreciate MyBookie. Thanks for your sponsorship. Go to mybookie.ag. Use a promo code CHAIR. Double your first deposit at MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. Thanks to James on guitar. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Thanks for listening to the Q's Militia Podcast, the fan's voice with Sean and Joe.